Hello, friends, and welcome back to Like Anime. It's the podcast about anime that you're currently listening to.
You said that last week.
I know, it's like my new thing.
Oh, okay.
I keep riffing during this, not to great effect, but that one actually stuck with me. So
it's also hopefully the podcast that you have previously listened to and will continue to listen to. It is the podcast of eternity. Put an echo effect on that if you would. Okay, go ahead.
But we have limited time. So without further ado, my name is George. And with me today, as always, is Tony.
Tony Otoshimasu. I think I said that right. Mm. I actually can't remember.
That was some words in a Japanese language.
Yeah, except for my name.
Which is... That I caught.
Yeah.
How are you, Tony?
I think that's what it is, right? Tony Otoshimasu. I don't know. Watashi no namae wa Tony desu.
Ah, Tony desu.
There, now you understand. how am I? Mm. Genki desu.
Sweet.
Anata wa?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Georgiou wa?
Georgiou wa?
Just in the subject of George.
Ah, I'm good and genki and stuff.
Genki. Genki. We're all genki here.
Well, where's our genki squad at? But yeah, we're here today to talk about two shows that just wrapped up from the summer, the old summer simulcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is one of them Big Brother? Because that just wrapped up.
Mm. Yeah, it's not. Oh, although okay. I've considered just turning this into a whatever we happen to watch podcast. Anime notwithstanding.
I mean, I did watch all of that. What was the name of the guy that won? Why can't I remember? Oh, Xavier. Yeah, Xavier won. Oh, sorry. Spoilers for Big Brother season 23, I think it was.
We've just been canceled.
Yeah, I'm sorry if you haven't watched the final episode yet. It was like 2 weeks ago, so realistically, you should have watched it by now.
Xavier, huh?
Xavier won, yeah. Nice. Yeah. And Tiffany got, America's favorite, which was... a little bit surprising. I mean, she was right in there with Derek X as far as like the numbers went, and it seemed like Derek X was probably going to get it. But yeah, Tiffany pulled it out. I mean, right. She masterminded the whole thing, so she deserved it.
Did you contribute in the voting?
I did. Nice. I voted for Tiffany, but I didn't expect her to get it.
Okay, nice. Yeah. She wasn't the...
She deserved it. Like she put a lot of things together in that game, and like the outcome was her doing, even though she ended up getting kicked out.
Mm.
Basically, as soon as she could have gotten kicked out.
She was working anyway. Working the system.
Yeah. Derek F. tried to say that he was the mastermind, and maybe it was his idea originally, but the actual plan came from Tiffany. And we've already talked about this too much, because this is an anime podcast, and no one cares.
Oh, yeah. Chime in if you are against
Big Brother.
Or you're against us not talking about anything that's not anime. That's what's happening. We do have some anime to talk about. They both have boy in the title. Mm. If you're clicked on this, you already know that. But we're going to end talking about Sunny Boy, a show I watched. And, Tony watched a little bit of before saying no thank you. And
Before Monkey Baseball happened.
Yes. Hey, we'll get to the Monkey Baseball. And then there's another show that I watched the first episode of, but... kind of tuned out after that. But
is that all you watched, was the first one?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if you watched the, because the same thing that you didn't like that happened in the first episode happened again in the third broadcast episode, maybe.
Okay.
Fourth, I don't know, the broadcast order is weird.
We're gonna get into that. It's Peach yeah. Boy Riverside.
Yes we
since
didn't
we're
say
getting into it
yet, so I mean, yeah, I've talked about it in the podcast at the start of the season, talked about the first few episodes, and George, I guess, talked about the first episode as well. But yeah, I knew that the episodes were airing out of manga order, and the creators of the anime seem to have reasons for that they stated publicly, and I kind of disputed those reasons at the time, saying, you know, I don't think it's actually necessary to do what they're doing, and... in retrospect, after having watched the whole thing in broadcast order and then having watched it again in manga order, I can say with certainty that their reasons were flawed. I mean, unless assuming that the reasons that they said are in fact the truth, I suspect that they did it this way for DVD sales, because in Japan, like, it's on the air, and then the only way you would be able to put them in order to watch them would be to buy the DVDs or Blu-rays, whatever it is these days.
I don't know. Unless they taped them, I guess, off TV and then.
Right. Yeah. You could do that, I guess. But yeah, I don't think it's available on any streaming services in Japan. I may be wrong about that because I don't live in Japan and I don't really know what streaming services they have there other than Netflix, which it's not on.
And I know they've been very resistant to streaming, especially with anime, because of the DVD and Blu-ray sales. Like, right. The physical media is such a big profit margin for them to continue this industry. Yeah. So.
Yeah,
you may be onto something.
So I suspect that that's sort of what they're doing, but I think they may have shot themselves in the foot a little bit, because the order that they chose was nonsense, almost like random, to be honest. And I think they probably pushed a lot of viewers out, because they in the order that they aired, as compared to the order that they should have aired if they were. Following the chronology of the manga. The first episode we saw should have been the second episode. So that's not a big deal, right? They just skipped the first episode and they're going to put it later. That's fine.
Yeah.
And the third episode, or sorry, the second episode that we saw should have been the second episode in order. Again, they're just continuing the same chronology. So those two episodes go together. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And then the third episode that we saw should have been the ninth episode according to manga order. So we basically skip the rest of the arc that we have just started and the other sub arc that also happens in the meantime, and go to the third sub arc. I don't know, arc, sub arc, whatever. That is basically the ending arc of the show. And part of what they said is that they didn't think that the ending of that arc was like a good, strong ending for the show. And they preferred the ending of the second arc, I guess, basically, because that's where they actually ended the show. So they basically just took the third arc and then sort of sprinkled it throughout the season. But like, they started with episode 9, which would have been the beginning of that arc. So at least we're okay so far. But then after that, they like shuffled the order even of that, even like.
Oh, wow.
We see things that happen, and then the next episode, we see the things that happened before that, like a sort of backstory thing, and I don't know. It's a mess, but I did watch it in the manga order. Like, I found a list that, you know, claimed to be the correct order for the manga.
Yeah. You went back after watching it all and airing.
Yes, after having watched the whole thing in the broadcast order, I went back and watched it in the order of and it's fine. Like, I don't understand what their problem with the ending was. I can still kind of see why they started where they did with the what would have been the second episode, because it introduces us to Frau faster.
Yeah,
because we don't see Frau in the actual first episode, which aired as the fourth episode, I believe, or maybe the third. I don't remember. Yeah. Anyway, so I can kind of understand them doing that and actually taking that first episode and just dropping it in later as a sort of backstory thing. Totally works. That was totally fine. But it was really like that big time jump from like episode what should have been 3 to episode what should have been 9.
Yeah, that's how could that not be confusing? Like, I didn't even see it, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's characters that we haven't even met yet that just show up, and the characters that we have met know them, but we don't, because we've never seen them before. But then, you know, 5 or 6 episodes later, we meet them for the first, or our characters meet them for the first time, right?
Jeez.
And there's one character who, at the beginning, she's, so Meki is an Oni, who... In the what would have been the third episode, which is actually the I don't remember. No, it is the third episode in airing. I don't remember. It's too confusing to keep track of which episode is which and which one I'm talking about. She lost her horn, which basically turned her into a human. She was sort of a humanoid looking. Anyway, and then
this is the lolly demon, right? Or
yeah,
looking.
Yeah, that's her, and. she becomes friends with and sort of joins Sally's party with the other people. And then, so in this big jump that they do, people are suddenly calling her carrot, basically. Mm. And we're like, what? She was just called, in the last episode, she was called Meki. And then, yeah, it's not until later that we get like the whole backstory of that, which is that, you know, she lost her horn. She's no longer a high demon. She's essentially a low demon, I guess, or I keep saying demon now, Oni. And she, so she doesn't get to have a name, I guess, because she's no longer a high Oni.
Been stripped of her.
Right. But then, Frau is talking to her and is saying, well, you know, I have to have something to call you. And you're human now, so it doesn't really matter. And so, yeah, Meki says, I don't know. What do you want to call me? Give me a name. And she first suggests Ninjin, which is carrot in Japanese.
Okay.
And they think, no, that's a terrible name. And then she suggests carrot.
In English.
Which is just carrot in English. But, I mean, they don't speak English, I guess, so it's fine. Anyway, so that in the time jump, everyone's calling her carrot suddenly for no reason. And we have no backstory for that. And then, you know, this witch shows up and hands a sword to one of our main guys. And they seem to have some history, but we have no idea what that is. And yeah, it's just like that choice alone to put episode 9 in the third or fourth spot. I don't remember which. Just a terrible idea. Like, it's not good at all. I don't know why. I don't know why they made that choice. It does not make any sense to me. Anyway, I don't know. I don't.
It's tricky, like, even talking about it, because breaking down the story, it's all in a jumbled mess, except
right.
You watched it in the right order after. So.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I watched it in broadcast order first, and like, but then since then, I've watched it in what I would consider the correct order.
Yeah, chronological, at least.
The,
right?
The manga order. It's not like completely chronological in their universe, because there are flashbacks and stuff. Mm. There is one flashback episode specifically that could really fit in anywhere. But anyway, chronologically, it would be first. But but in manga order, it's last. And in broadcast order, it was second to last.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure why they decided to do that, but it could fit in anywhere. So that one doesn't really matter either. Like I say, the first episode could be like a flashback backstory thing, and it could fit in almost anywhere. And the what would have been the last episode. When I said first episode, I meant what would have been the first episode. Anyway, so here's the thing that that makes me think that they did this all on purpose so that people would buy the DVD and put them in order. At the end of each episode, they've got the card that comes up and tells you like what the next episode is going to be, the title of the next episode, right?
Yeah.
And down in the lower right corner, part of sort of the frame around the episode card, there is like a number sort of built into the frame. And the number that's there is not the number of the next episode. It's the number of the next manga episode, basically.
Mm.
It's essentially, it's telling you, it's telling you how out of order the next episode is. So like first we watch episode 1 and the end title card of that says 3 because we've skipped one.
Yeah.
And the next one will be, you know, I'll just call them chapters, I guess, even though it's not completely in line with manga chapters, but it's easier to say episodes and chapters, I think. So chapter 3 would be the next one. And then when you watch episode 2, which is chapter 3, at the end of that, there's a 9. Because episode 3 is chapter 9. And then at the end of that, episode 3, chapter 9, there is a 1. So they've put these numbers there purposefully so that you can go through and like figure out what order they're supposed to be in and watch them in that order. That's clearly what they want you to do. Why else would they put that information there, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you're like watching it and being like, why does none of this make sense? Oh,
right.
There's a number system here that guides me.
Right, right. If you care enough after having been just like confused, like in the third airing episode, just like, what the hell is going on? And then we And then the next episode, episode four, what chapter one, we'll call it, was like a flashback, and that's fine. And then from there, where does it go? I'm trying to remember. I think then it goes to, no, I don't remember exactly. But yeah, it just sort of jumps around a whole bunch for no reason.
Yeah.
Even the subplots are not in their own chronological order sometimes. And anyway, it was a huge mistake. They pissed a lot of people off, probably made a bunch of people drop the show. And they're probably not going to get a second season, I would guess, because I'm guessing not enough people watched it because they were confused by it. But maybe the DVD sales will make up for it enough that they will get a second season. I hope they do.
Yeah, maybe.
It is an interesting enough story. And I know I haven't talked about story at all, and it's been like 15 minutes I've been talking about this. But what is there to say about the story? It's a pretty standard-ish, you know, adventure anime plot, I guess, you know, with demons and people fighting demons and things like that. The whole backstory of Frau has been hinted at several times, and we never actually see it. And that's probably one of the most interesting parts. The origin of the Peach Boys, as we'll call them, because there's the main one who, I wish I could remember his name. The main Peach Boy, who is the,
he's like the legend or whatever,
air quote, son of the original Peach Boy.
Oh, wow.
This is something we find out very, very late. This would be it would be the last chapter, but the second to last episode. We find out that he is actually an Oni that, whose father, I guess he's a half Oni now that I think about it. His father was an Oni. His mother was human. They had a child together. And then his father couldn't control his Oni urges to consume human flesh and ate his mother. And then he went to the original Peach Boy guy and said, "Ah, I've done a terrible thing. You have to kill me," which he then obliges and kills him. But then the Peach Boy goes into the town, Momotaro, goes into town and sees everyone like beating this child because it's got a small horn growing out of its head. So they all know that it's an Oni. So then he sort of adopts this child and raises it as his own and teaches it to go around killing all the Onis. And now that's what he does.
Okay.
So he's not the original Peach Boy, but anyway. And then in addition to that, Sally has this same power for killing Onis that he does. We see how he got his, because he got it from the original Peach Boy. It sort of, you know, he died and it transferred, sort of thing. But how did she get hers? And there, part of it, they do the story tale thing where they're, you know, talking about the original story of the Peach Boys, and they say, well, what if there was more than one peach floating down that river that day, or something like that. So that seems to be the gist of it, but how she acquired this, we don't know. So that's sort of an outstanding interest point, but mainly Frau's backstory, which is not enough to even really go into here.
Oh, really? Well, that's disappointing. She's definitely the most visually interesting character.
There's a lot of things that are hinted at, like she's an angel or a demon, or she's something. Like she's not a hair folk. She's not a demihuman. You know, she is something else posing as a demihuman.
Okay.
Like we know that for sure. It's been said multiple times. And there are people that knew her from before and say little things about her that kind of give you hints about, like, she used to be sort of a supreme badass of some sort, it seems. But the Frau that we know now is just pretty chill and likes to eat carrots. You know, she's all about carrots.
So they're still, they're teasing that.
Yeah. I mean, she's the most interesting part, like you said. So, of course.
Yeah, that's what drew me to it. Didn't get past the first episode.
The things that you didn't like about it, like I said, so first airing episode, third airing episode, they do essentially the same thing with the tentacle thing, which you didn't like. And then later, and I forget when, it's basically just sort of explained away as, one time her father, who's a king, went to some far off country and got a giant octopus and brought it back to the kingdom as sort of a novelty to look at, or maybe a pet or something like that. Mm. And she got too close and got wrapped up by the octopus. And, you know, she just has, she has some trauma from that. And, the way that she visualizes it is a lot worse than it was in the actuality. But, but yeah, it looks like basically sort of soft tentacle porn in the way it's shown in the show.
Interesting. But there was no, here's my question though. There's no payoff outside of that, or like, was it, did it need to be in there at all? You know, this, I mean, maybe not yet, it hasn't delivered, but cause I'm just like, okay, what is the point of that detail?
Just that she had some trauma involving an octopus in the past. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's just trying to show her as being, you know, vulnerable in some way. I don't know.
I guess so. Yeah.
It hasn't really paid off yet. But again, we sort of end in a sort of weird place. It's not like a bad place to end, but like there's a lot of like unresolved things and So we don't know yet.
Okay. It's still
It may still pay off. There's still more material out there. So
okay. Yeah.
All right. Who haven't I talked about? I talked about Momotaro and son of Momotaro. I can't remember his name. Oh, Mikoto. Mikoto is
He's the second Peach Boy.
Right. And the original Peach Boy actually was called Momotaro by his parents that found him, the woman who found him in the river and everything, right? Mm. They called him Momotaro, which means Peach Boy, basically. Peach Child. Peach something. Anyway, Momo means Peach.
Okay, nice.
So...
I just keep thinking of Moses, just with the baby in a river thing.
But. Right, right. Yeah, it's, you know, not dissimilar, I suppose. But yeah, so he originally has that name, but then decides to change his name to Mikoto Hika something something. I don't remember the full name. And then when he dies, the person we know as Mikoto takes that name for himself, basically.
Yeah.
I think prior to that, he didn't have a name, chose not to have a name. Felt he didn't deserve a name or something. Anyway,
he's like, I'm waiting for that guy to die, and then I'll have a name.
Just waiting for that guy to die. And then, yeah, what else? There was an odd moment, which when you watch it in order, I guess no matter which order you watch it in, it doesn't, it's a weird sort of payoff. But in the, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter which order you watch it in. Mm-hmm. There's a callback from what is a flashback of his origin story, where he drops a steam bun and this dog eats it, and then he invites the dog to come on journey with him. The dog that he calls Dog, or Inu, right? The one that can talk without moving its mouth.
Okay.
Oh, that's the other thing I've noticed. I guess that's something else I could talk about. Wow, I've been talking about this way too long. It's not that good of a show. Anyone except for a human, I guess that's probably the easiest way to say it. So demi-humans and non-humanoid Onis, their mouths don't move when they talk. The dog, as an additional example, they're just, their mouths are just open and we just hear
the words,
them speaking basically. So they don't do any lip flap with them at all for some reason. But with like the humanoid characters, there is lip flap, I guess, because it would be
weird.
Weird if there wasn't, but it's kind of weird when the other people talk and their mouths don't move. And it's honestly, it seems like a budgetary thing, because like the art, the drawing, of this show is pretty good, I think, but the animation is really, really subpar. Like there are scenes where nothing in the scene moves. We're just sort of like panning or zooming or something like that on a still frame while someone's talking, usually like a demi-human or something is talking. So we just see them with their mouth open and we're just like slowly zooming in on them while they're giving this whole like monologue and like, oh, it's so, it just feels so budget. Like they're, I don't know. They could have done better on that front.
Well, that's another thing they may or may not fix for the physical release. Often happens when they...
There'd be so much to do though.
Yeah.
Like so much.
It's like just reanimating it.
Like 90% of it is still frames with maybe a mouth moving, if it's a humanoid character. But everything else in the frame is basically still. It's pretty bad. Like it's pretty awful. It's, Yeah. So that's the other thing I had to say about it. I like the opening song. The ending song's okay.
Dark Spiral Journey?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good song.
It's catchy. I like it. Yeah. And I look forward to seeing more of it in the future should any more be released, which I don't know. I have my doubts whether that'll actually happen because I think they shot themselves in the foot by messing with the episode order for pretty much no reason.
Yeah. That'll be the interesting thing if it is successful with like the DVD sales and whatnot. And it warrants us, you know, doing a second season. I wonder if they'll continue to do this, like, out of order, jump around thing, or if they'll just get their shit together.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it probably depends on whether the manga has completed or not yet, whatever. Because that was their excuse, is that, it hasn't completed, so, like, we're ending in a weird place, and I don't know. It was weird.
That's so weird because, I mean, usually when they decide to adapt a manga, there's at least enough source material to do a whole season without, you know, catching up or, you know, being at a loss for, you know, what to do with the story. You know, like, usually there's enough.
I believe there was. I believe everything that they adapted was probably already out by the time that they started actual production of this.
Yeah.
It's just that arc wasn't complete, I guess, is what they were saying.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It hasn't actually completed, so we're doing like three quarters of an arc, and so we're sort of ending in a weird place. But it's fine because you've got these sub arcs, and it's like, you know, 1, 2, 3 sub arcs of, you know, presumably 4 or 5 or however many, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see the problem with it. It is a little bit of a lackluster ending, but so was it the way that they did it. You know,
I mean, it was originally a web manga. I'm looking it up right now, and it started in 2008, and it says it's still going. But then there's a separate remake manga that started in 2015 and has 10 volumes. So I'm not sure which one they're adapting there, but because they both say they're still going.
Well, I mean, the manga is probably a remake of the web manga, and then maybe is continuing from where that one left off. So it was originally a web manga and then readapted to be sold as an actual manga.
Yeah, that could be. So it's interesting they say they're both still ongoing, but
yeah, that is kind of strange, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, that's I guess that's it, right? That's Peach Boy Riverside.
All right. What do you grade it this season? I mean, given all these like caveats.
I mean, it's sort of difficult for me to rate the manga order, I guess, because I already knew everything that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So like as the story by itself, it's better than it was in the order that it aired. How much better? I don't know. But in the order that it aired, yeah, it's like a really low 5. Like almost want to give it a 4. Like,
oh wow.
The story is actually interesting enough if you watch it in the correct order. But it's really difficult to get into and to enjoy in the order that it aired, you know, because it jumps around so much, and by the time you get back to this plot arc that you were halfway through, you know, like 3 episodes ago, you don't remember exactly where you were. It takes you like several minutes of the show to figure out when and where you are.
Yeah.
And then remember everything that happened prior to that and sort of try and forget all of the things that you've seen that are going to happen in the future because they're not important yet. And then you can finally like start like watching the episode, and it's probably half over by then.
Jeez.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, the out of order thing was very problematic. I think
watching it in manga order.
You
rate it.
It flows higher. Nicely. Yeah, I might give it a 6. Actually. Okay. Yeah.
So that was guessing based on.
Yeah, and because it's fine. I mean, the animation is poor. I don't want to say bad, but it's poorly animated. But the art is nice. They sort of offset each other. It's probably just a 5. It's probably not even, probably not even a 6. Yeah. I don't know, somewhere in that range. It just kind of, yeah.
Okay.
It was decent. It was fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my 25 minutes about Peach Boy.
It was decent. It was fine. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
You know, what else I don't want to do is listen to you talk about Sunny Boy for a half an hour, but I guess that's what's going to happen. What do you got? Can you sum it up in 5 minutes for me?
Oh my God. Hey, it goes both ways, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, I know. You didn't want to listen to me talk about Peach Boy for a half an hour either, but...
No, it's not that I didn't, but I wasn't jumping up and down about it.
Does the monkey baseball come back?
Not directly.
No, but it's mentioned at least.
Yeah, there's sort of a theme of monkeys, I think. Mm. But yeah, so Sunny Boy is an interesting show. You kind of reminded me of it in the end there. Not as a negative for me, but... when you were talking about, you know, trying to like figure out, you know, taking a couple of minutes to figure out like
when and
what
where.
When are we and what has happened? Mm. The show's very interesting. It's a show that like consistently doesn't have an intro song, which is to me already like kind of a bold move. And I think it's cool. I think it works well. Has this amazing ending song I'm very, very fond of. But yeah, I don't know. It's strange. Like I know it threw you off, but it really tickled me. And I waited to like watch it all, like after it was all out. So I could get like a bigger picture of it. Cause I just felt like watching it week to week was just one of those shows where kind of remind me of like Westworld or something where it's like, not exactly, but it's kind of a puzzle box and there's a lot of characters. Yeah. And it's, you know, shot very creatively. It gave me like an auteur kind of feel to it, the way it's edited and presented. There's a lot of interesting like editing choices and shots and stuff. And then the thing that ties into like trying to figure out where you are, because it does this consistent thing every episode, even from the first episode, but it's like every episode after that, there's some cliffhanger, right? And you learn something about this world. But then once you start the next episode, time has passed.
Right.
And they've now learned new things. But anyway, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. This show is about a high school classroom. It's mentioned in the first episode, there's like 36 students and their entire high school gets, well, they're not sure at first. Like, did the high school get transported somewhere? Did the rest of the world just disappear? All you see is just their high school and like a sea of black. But then when that first episode starts, because I rewatched it today after finishing, but it's been 7 days since that happened. That's where we pick up. And so it's very interesting. Like you're learning, it all seems kind of mundane at first. You know, they're just in high school, they're in a school and they're just chilling. But then things start to kind of fall in place. And this is the storytelling method that they use of like things start to tumble out of the narrative, and so you learn as you're watching that you know that something happened, and it's been a week, and also there's this strange occurrence of these students like having unique what they call superpowers. They have some unique ability, and we learn a little bit later that some of these abilities started to show themselves before the school drifted, and so that it's almost like a I don't want to say a murder mystery, but it has that like sort of mystery like film noir aspect of just the whole world and everything, like, you know, this yarn kind of being pulled as things go along. But essentially, after finishing it all, the heart of the story is about these two characters, the main character being this high school boy named Nagara, and then this other girl named Nozomi. Which I meant to look up what Nozomi means, because I kept thinking of Right Stuff.
Yeah, Nozomi Entertainment.
Yeah, that's their licensing.
I think it's just a name, but
just a name.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'll look it up.
Sweet. But yeah, so after watching the season as a whole, and it's what I like about it is it's contained. You know, it's self-contained. There's no need for a sequel. It's all thought out and connected and was satisfying at the end. But I have to say, like, the act of actually watching it was enjoyable for me, but it is kind of like the nature of it is disorienting, because it's not always easy to like know what's happening and know what's going on. And so I think it definitely rewards repeated viewings. And I will say up front, talking about this, I think there's a lot of themes and stuff that has gone over my head, even story elements where I may have to watch it several times to wrap my head around. But the basic gist of it is about these two, even though it doesn't necessarily, like, and I guess that's what I like about it. It doesn't scream anything at you or spoon feed anything. And some people find that, you know, it's hard to engage with sometimes. It's not like a traditional storytelling method. Did you find anything on that?
Yeah, so there's a couple different things that it could mean depending on what kanji is used for it. I think the most likely is wish, desire, or hope. Like, as far as a name goes, okay. hope is kind of a normal name in yeah. English as well. So something like that. The other one was challenge or confrontation.
Okay.
There's also something that I'm not sure what it means. Something about fastest. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's the name of a train line, I guess. That's the other one.
Okay. Hope and challenge.
Yeah, depending on the kanji used.
Those could both apply to her, I think. But so it's about the two of them, their relationship, but it's not really a romantic one. I think there are some, there's something there, but it's not explicit. It's kind of just implied. And I really like that about this, and I'll get into it. But there's a lot of, like, that's at the heart of it, but there's a lot of themes going on about commenting on society and kind of toying with, you know, some, like, norms, some societal norms that we all accept and put faith in. And it sort of, I don't know, kind of examines and in some cases challenges, like, some of these notions, but not in a way that's, to me, that's, like, you know, overly intellectual or just like beating you over the head with it. It's just there and it's woven into their story and their play. But it's, for me, it was very hard not to think about, you know, real life parallels. But I guess I'll get some examples here while I run down the story. But
oh, you're gonna run down the story? I should have done that with Peach Boy. Dang.
You're like, well, there's not much to say.
Go ahead.
I know you spent half the time talking about the episode airing and
really, I mean, that's like the most notable thing about that show, other than how poor the animation is.
Dang.
Sorry to derail. Go on with the Sunny Boy.
I'm just going to have a few examples here. Like, rewatching the first episode, it's so brilliant because to me, because you're just confined in this school and everything outside of it is just black, you know, void, just an empty void, seemingly. And you kind of just accept where they're at. Like, they've been there a week. So, you know, I assume like this is, you know, this is all they know and what they're dealing with. But then as things go on, we learn there's these superpowers and certain kids are like being rambunctious and like destroying the school, you know, just having fun. But some of the other students, the main one being this guy, Hoshi, his like little star on his cheek. I remember him.
That's what Hoshi means.
Oh, his means star?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, nice. Learn all sorts of Japanese. So Hoshi with his star, he kind of becomes this instigator with this other, student Cap. He's referred to as Cap. He's captain of the baseball team or something, I think.
I kept thinking his name was Ace, but yeah, Cap.
Oh, Cap. Yeah. There is an Ace as well.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
He comes up later. And Cap is sort of a simple guy. He's not very, you know,
intelligent.
Yeah, he's not very intelligent, but he's also kind of jovial and goes with the flow, but is also easily influenced. And Hoshi does just that, where he's like, all right, we need to do, you know, they're talking about this and they both agree we need to do something about this. You know, what if the school, you know, we wake up from this horrible dream and the school, you know, we're back in our real lives and we've just, you know, as students collectively, we've destroyed the school. It's going to reflect badly on us as well. So like, we need to do something. We need to, you know, come up with some rules. And so they treat it as a kind of like soccer, where it's like you get a penalty if you break any of the rules. Mm-hmm. This is when, and the way they do it is so cool because, and I'm still not even sure, I think it's Cap's ability or a superpower.
No.
No?
I think it was explained. See, I remember this because I watched this episode. I think it was explained that it was just an intrinsic nature of that world.
Oh, yes. Like once they set up the dynamics.
Once the rule was defined, then that sort of gave him the power, I guess, or something.
And I wonder if that was only within the confines of the school.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
Because there's a scene later where somebody asks Cap, you know, it's after all this has happened and they're out of the school, but... they're you know kind of like what is your power, and he's like you don't want to know or something, you know, he shrugs it off, and I need to rewatch it again, of course, but I don't think it's ever explicitly stated what his thing was, but yeah, that makes sense to me, because that comes up later too, where there's these rules of this world, they call it, it's right. Not our world that we know, it's this other world.
Right. Yeah. And I only watched the first three episodes, and that may be why I remember
that standing out
bit of it a little bit more. Yeah.
I think you're right. But the way it works is like they set these rules up, and Hoshi is behind Cap the whole time, like kind of feeding him encouragement and building him up. You know, like you're going to be the ruler, and you know you're going to cast down your judgment. And so at first he's like very, you know, pragmatic about it. It's like, nope, you broke a rule, you know, penalty. And when they get a penalty, they get this X across their face. And they're succumbed by whatever their punishment is. Like they can't. It's like a
They just have to do.
Yeah, it's compulsory where they can't not do it. And so for one of them, it's just doing like, you know, however many sit-ups or just like writing on a blackboard, you know, like over and over. Or the first guy, what's his name? He becomes important. Asakaze. He has to just do long division, like endlessly. just keep dividing and dividing. And so all of this is confined in this episode, and it starts to get like really, you know, it's a very slippery slope, and it totally illustrates, you know, in real life how often this happens when somebody has this power, I guess not fantasy, but just being succumbed by power and greed, and like letting it take you to these ridiculous lengths. And he ends up hitting that Asakaze guy with a bat, and there's like blood everywhere. But they eventually heal up in this world. But then at the end of that, there's this amazing scene where, because Nozomi, basically the way they set everything up is there's like this smartphone app where everyone can like join the community, and then you know what the rules are, and everyone's given duties, you know, when they set up this whole construct. And Nozomi refuses to do it, and she's like, no, I'm good, I don't want a smartphone. And they try to give her one, and she just, you know, very politely like smashes it. But then she gets a penalty too. But near the end of the episode, she's like, she can see, a couple times she can see this light. And so we don't know what her power is at first, but it turns out she has this compass power, and she sees this light that no one else sees that's guiding them somewhere, and they assume it's like the way out, but they don't really know. And so that's what prompts her at the end of that first episode to, you know, she's taking, what's his name? Nagara with her, and she's like, let's go, and she just like runs and jumps off into the void, and
a literal leap of faith.
Yes. And he ends up running after her and grabs her, and then they both fall, and then right as they fall, all the void opens up, and it's this huge ocean that the school is just like slowly sinking into, and there's a beach right there, and they're like, what? And it's a crazy cliffhanger. You're like, what, you know, what happened? But from here we learn that there's multiple worlds within this world. And it's even explained that the sense of time is distorted between each one, like it's all relative to each other. And so we get into certain situations later on where, you know, they'll stumble across like this civilization, and some of these people have been here for hundreds, even thousands of years, but but it's all happened within, you know, since the, you know, this original high school was transported. But because of the distortion of time and where they're at, like there's some interesting worlds that they find. But yeah, each episode kind of plays out like this. So it's like when you end that first episode being like, oh my god, there's more than just the school, there's this ocean, there's this island. And then you pick up the second episode, they're already living on the island, and they have something set up, but then there's some new problems have already arisen. And that's something I like about this show, and I do see it being a detractor for certain people, because it's like, it doesn't, you know, swiftly lead you in to, you know, the next episode. It's like, oh God, okay, what happened? And, you know, you have to follow pretty closely, and rewatching some of these episodes was beneficial, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting because the first episode, we start like a week in after this event has occurred, right?
Yeah.
And then in the second episode, we're, you know, I don't know, presumably a week later, maybe more. I'm not sure exactly what the timeline there is. But yeah, it's sort of the same thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the end of this, or near the end of the season, they've been there for, you know, like thousands of years, which is interesting. But I don't need to go through the whole thing, I guess. But this show really touched me. I had a lot of emotional.
Was it a bad touch, George?
No, not like.
Show me where the show touched you on this doll.
It's not like the Bloodhound Gang song. No, it was good. It was very good, but it actually, I guess it wasn't very good. It was mostly good, but it kind of, I felt some true sadness and longing, about these characters. I don't even know if I want to spoil everything. I guess I could. All right. I'm just going to say, spoilers from here on out. I'm just going to wrap it up for Tony since I know he's not going to watch it. So you saw up until Monkey Baseball, maybe the episode after. Maybe that was the last one.
I think that was the last one. Episode 3, wasn't it, with the Monkey Baseball? Because they were still on the island.
Four.
Oh, was that 4?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. And I remember at the end, you were turned off, maybe similarly to me, with the first episode of Peach Boy. But at the end of that episode, this teacher shows up, one of their teachers, Miss Aki, and she's got these very large breasts.
Oh, I do kind of remember that.
I think you were like on top of the Monkey Baseball. Just
it was mostly the Monkey Baseball.
Yeah, but I remember that was like another thing where you're like, oh my God.
No, I just like to make fun of you for watching shows with women whose breasts. I mean, Peach Boy. I can't really say anything. So
yeah, I mean, hey, it happens. I don't think either of us seeks it out, but we often or sometimes put up with it because there's other things we like.
Yeah, yeah. It was mostly the Monkey Baseball. Like, that didn't really bother me. I just like to make fun of you for that because, you know, prison school.
Yes. Well, that's a whole different ball of wax. I won't dwell on the Monkey Baseball too much. I think it's mainly supposed to be a metaphor and act as some character motivation. But it's hard to, I don't know. It's hard. I need to watch it more to like contextualize like what is actually going on there with it. But
I can tell you what's going on. There's monkeys that play baseball.
Yeah, but they exist in like this.
They exist in a history of this world, which we did not witness, that happened before anyone was there, but somehow they're aware of it and are telling the story of. Sorry.
Continue. See, I think I don't want to dwell on this too much, but I think rewatching it today, I think that I think it happened in real time, but only a couple of the baseball guys saw it. So I don't know if it has something to do with that, but
they seem to be aware of it, and they were talking about how this game happened like 100 years ago or something like that, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, but that brings me back to one of the overall themes of the show, which I really enjoyed how they did it, and I think also plays into the thing I was talking about earlier, where like when each new episode starts, some time has passed, and it's never really clear how much time.
Yeah, so you're saying that rather than there being a week having passed, it's been like hundreds of years.
And yeah.
They had seen this baseball game occur, in the hundreds of years that they were there.
I think so, because
even though that one girl was looking for her dog for hundreds of years or something, or I don't know,
or her cat, yeah,
was it a cat?
Okay. Yeah, which that was within that second episode, or was the second? Yeah, it was the second episode.
Oh, it was all within that singular timeline.
Yeah, then? Where she lost her cat. Because that's my theory. Is I think within the episodes themselves, it's like time is passing as we would, you know, as we're seeing it. Mm. But in between, I think it's varies greatly.
I see.
Because they don't really comment in the first half, like how much time has passed.
Right.
But I think, I don't know, I really, and there, it is mentioned at one point, like, you know, the passage of time in this world they're in, and all these different worlds is you know, kind of funky because it's not like linear, like we know it.
Okay, so just to run down the plot, I guess. So this teacher, Miss Aki, shows up, and it's later revealed, I don't know who, but she's not actually their teacher. She's one of the other students, like basically presenting as the teacher. But what she ends up doing is sort of driving a wedge between part of the students. So like a third of the students are roughly end up, you know, following her almost like a military, you know, they become very indoctrinated by her. Mm-hmm. None of our main characters are really, I mean, there are some that are allied with her, like that, Asakaze guy. And then the others,
Morning Wind,
Asakaze. Oh, nice.
That's the,
I know Kaze is wind.
Yeah. Asa is morning.
Nice. Yeah, morning okay. Wind. That's too complimentary for him.
Oh, yeah.
He's that guy that's kind of a dick and, yeah, breaking glass and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so she kind of, like, separates thing. And then there's this whole, like, talk about how a lot of this is being overseen or instigated by their principal, but like that stuff, that's kind of stuff that I need to rewatch this show for. That's what I was hitting at earlier, is like, I don't know how to contextualize all that or where, you know, I'm missing something there, but it's mentioned throughout. But then it's also revealed at a certain point, because I think you saw where it's revealed that the main guy, Nagara, is creating this these other worlds, that's essentially his power. And so he, like, because there's a point where, like, they realize that he can find all these other worlds, and so they're like plotting him out. There's the really nerdy guy, Rajdhani,
are you talking about the people that are in the curtains room thing?
Well, no, that was different. But oh. I was talking about him. He's like the he creates a bunch of stuff and is kind of, you know, the one, you know, big brain putting his mind to all this stuff. But the curtain stuff does apply, because like that was like another world that Nagara found.
It was like a world within the world.
Yes, yeah. And so it was kind of confusing. Yeah. But eventually he figures out that he can control, he can instigate like changing the world they're in, but it doesn't go to where he wants it to go. There's a point where like, oh sweet, we're gonna go home, like, you know, Nagara's gonna do it, and he's like, all right, I'll give it a shot, and like he keeps cycling through all these different like crazy worlds, you know, visually, like, just, you know, what is it, mind fuck kind of thing. And then he cycles back to the beach they were at originally, and he's just like, crap, I can't do it. And so over the course of this time, like, some people start to lose faith of like going back at all. And that there's this whole theme of most of the people end up accepting living in this world, and they at a certain point kind of go their own separate ways, and we get to a point where it's just Nagara, Nozomi, and the other girl, Mizuho, who can do the Amazon with her cats. I remember that Niamazon is what it was called. That was her power. Where like,
okay, I don't remember. I remember there was a girl who could make basically anything, but she couldn't give it away.
Yes. Yeah.
Because rules of the world said.
Yeah. So that was the second episode where if you just gave, cause yeah, basically she wasn't make, we find out later, but she isn't making them. Like, she has these three cats and they ended up having personalities, and like, we get like their perspective at a certain point. Mm. But they have their own abilities where they're, I forget which each one's job is, like one like orders it and then one like gets it, and I don't know, it's this whole thing of like they're the ones that can get them anything they need,
right? Oh, and that's why it's called Yamazon.
Yamazon.
Yeah.
And it's revealed that they're not actually getting these things, they're just making copies of them. I don't know, that's a whole, I need to rewatch it already, but but she basically in that second episode gets blamed for making all these things catch on fire. It's like this blue fire. And you were hinting at, they realize, because I love that episode too, where it's like this whole misunderstanding where Nagara says like, oh, I saw her like standing in front of a tree that had that blue fire. And it's misconstrued, like almost like telephone, you know, playing that game,
right?
Of like, oh, well, she's starting it then. And like, oh, Nagara saw her start these fires, you know, with a grin on her face. And
right.
And it gets completely out of hand, you know, very common in real life. But it's not her starting it. It's this whole one of the rules of the world where like you have to either like barter or pay you know, there has to be a transaction. You can't just like endlessly create goods and distribute them. There has to be a system of, you know, monetary or barter, you know, something, which, you know, totally not one of those things that mirrors real life. But through all that, her and Nagara kind of, because she was kind of like an outcast, like almost like rich girl, like just didn't want anything to do with anyone. And they kind of, through all that, he finds her cat that was missing, that you said earlier too. But anyway, so it becomes the three of them. Everyone else kind of sets off on their own. But for thousands of years, they're kind of convinced that they can find a way out. And to wrap it up here, almost reaching an hour, but
wrap it up. We're only on episode four.
I know, right? Well, I'm kind of glaze over some of these because I don't need to go. I don't know. I implore you to watch it, listeners, if you're into kind of auteur weird stuff with metaphors and, you know, tricky storytelling. It's kind of a high bar, I guess. But
and if you want to see monkeys play baseball.
That too. It reminded me of you always.
And or, I guess.
And or, yeah. If you're into monkeys playing baseball, I don't. Stop listening to this.
This is the show for you. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Although you might be disappointed. It's really just that one episode. Yeah,
it is just sort of a retelling of monkeys playing baseball, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I love. You don't actually ever see them playing baseball, but that episode actually gets me in the feels as well.
It goes kind of dark. Like it's got, yeah.
Yeah. And there's themes in there that I really, really enjoy. But anyway, so it kind of turns into a love triangle because at a certain point we meet this one of the classmates. This is kind of before they've all dispersed, but they're kind of slowly, you know, going their own path and stuff. But they're still, you know, they're still in contact and whatever. But we meet this girl who's been around the whole time, but has never been focused on. But she's this shy girl. She's the one in a cast. If you remember that, she has like an arm cast on. But
I don't remember.
Her power is that, and she hasn't told anyone this the whole show up until this point, which is like three quarters away, and that she can basically read minds. She hears like this like narrative of what people are thinking if she is in their presence. And so we learn that she has a crush on the Asakaze dude, the guy that's kind of a jerk that got hit with a baseball bat in the first episode. But then she is very well aware that he has a crush on Nozomi, even though she had already turned him down. But he was just made, you know, remaining adamant about that. And so it gets to this point, and of course, like, we presume that Nozomi, you know, likes Nagara, the main character. But that's never, you know, it's seen, but it's never stated. But
you ship them. That's what you're saying.
Well, come on.
Everyone does.
Well, I like the fact that their relationship is framed as a friendship, and I'll get to that. But what happens is that Asakaze is being like goaded by Miss Aki, who's not really their teacher, but she's basically saying like, oh, you're the chosen one and you're going to, you know, help us reach whatever ends by killing, you know, being the first person to commit murder in this world. And and this is another thing that I don't know a lot about, but there's this character that's just named War, and they go to this world that he's in, and it's essentially like this big, almost like the Grand Canyon, but it's this huge, like...
Wait, so he's a character who is not a student?
Presumably not. I mean, he looks... When you see him, he looks like he could be. Okay. But he's just, like, silent and just, like, seemingly depressed. I don't know. Like, he's just, like, in a funk or something.
Because, like, everyone else is a student.
Yeah.
Including the teacher.
Yeah. And that's what they... Yeah. And they kind of stand by that, even though there's even other instances where I'm like, really?
I mean, the monkeys probably aren't students.
Well, yeah, that's true. And there are other animals. There's crabs and fish and, you know, that they...
The cats.
The cats too, yeah. But there's like wildlife that's already there that they're like catching and eating and stuff. So, but as far as sentient life forms go, I guess they're presumably all the students. See, I don't understand this War character very much. Need to rewatch it. But it's a very important scene because... this girl that can read people's minds, it becomes apparent to her that, like, she realizes what Asakaze is about to do, and she's worried about him, and so she kind of reels Nozomi in, and she doesn't, Nozomi's really, like, kind of, like, matter of fact, but also like, you know, isn't really like that. She doesn't get that worked up over things, you know, but she kind of just does what she wants. And so this girl, like, you know, has her come with her to meet up with Asakaze, and it's kind of awkward between, you know, between the two of them. And then the one girl's like, oh, Asakaze, can I go with you on this? You know, you have to go to kill this guy or whatever, because they, you know, she tells him about it. And he's like, I don't know why you'd want to. And it's like, well, she's like, me and Nozomi would love to go. And Nozomi's like, she's like, no, we're going. And so they go, and Miss Aki's there, whatever. And it's like this, like the Grand Canyon, like they're on this, like they have to walk up this huge, crazy rocky ledge. And there's this, you know, just sheer drop on both. They're on one side of it, but the, you know, it's very narrow and it just goes straight down. And then at the very bottom, there's like this purple line. It just seems to go, not go endlessly, but goes very far down until that line. And while this is happening, or while this is all going on, like he's, you know, he's supposed to kill this war guy, and it becomes apparent. Oh yeah. Miss Aki, like, already for some reason knows that this girl can read minds. And so she outs her, in front of everyone. And so it makes it awkward. Like Asakaze realizes that she knows that he doesn't like her and that he likes Nozomi and blah blah blah. Anyway, so this escalates to a point where he's about to kill War, and Nozomi is like standing there kind of near the edge, and a thing happens, which has happened recently for us a couple times. But yeah, he goes to kill, and he does kill this War guy, but it creates a sort of rumbling that makes the part that Nozomi's standing on of this cliff give way. And so she ends up falling down the crevice, which do you remember the two shows?
Yeah. One of them was To Your Eternity, right? And then the other one was Fruits Basket.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two things this season.
Well, three now.
Yeah. Three. Yeah. Added to the list. And so this happens, and man, it got me, because the show doesn't dwell on this kind of the heart-wrenching stuff it deals with. Like, it happens in an instant and you see it and it's dramatic. But then the next scene, we see it cuts to back to Nagara and Mizuho, who are kind of waiting for her to return. And clearly they know, or they're realizing what has happened, but it's just like the way they do it, it's so brief, but man, it really got me. And then the next episode starts with this, clearly time has passed again. And it's this whole montage with this beautiful song of Nagara and Mizuho, you know, Nozomi's gone. And it's just this montage of them kind of going through their life and helping each other and doing their research and whatever, you know, still trying to like work a way to get back. Cause the three of them, that was like their pact. They wanted to, they were pretty much the only three that still wanted to go back. But yeah, once, oh man, I don't know. It's just hard thinking about it. Even, once Nozomi dies, it's really rough. But then, so that was the third to last episode. And so in the last two, the penultimate one, they spend it, there's that montage, and then they have this plan that they've been working on seemingly for thousands of years, and they have it to get home. And they haven't seen that Rajdhani guy in a long time, but they end up coming across him, and he's like, oh, I'll help you guys. Like, it's been so long. He had turned into like a shaman or something. He was wearing like all this like, you know, traditional garb and like living in a hut. But he decides to help them, like bring this plan to fruition. And so, yeah. And then also in the scheme of that, they get Nozomi's compass that she had, and she had that compass power, and the compass is just like facing one direction, you know, after she died. So it's like she's still with them. It's kind of like the memento they have. But anyway, their plan involves like a giant rocket. And so basically like just propelling themselves into the atmosphere of whatever, wherever the heck they are. And reaching a point, like hitting the speed of light, this whole thing. And it's a really creative, beautiful scene of when they're finally, because they take the rocket out, you know, as far as they can, and they hit the speed of light, and then they're able to get out of the rocket, and they're just like running across this like void with the compass. But behind, like the way they did it artistically is like there's this crazy visualization going on that keeps changing and morphing. And it was hinted at in the first few episodes that I rewatched, but
don't know, it was just so cool. And so, and it managed to make it like exciting and emotional at the same time, because it was all wrapped up in, and you know, the memory of Nozomi and all that. Mm-hmm. But they talk about it beforehand. It's like, okay, well, if this works, there's no guarantee that we will remember what happened or remember, like, you know, all the memories that we made together, like our friendships and stuff. And during that point, it flashbacks to a scene with Nagara and Nozomi where she's like, well, if it works, you know, just talking about it, you know, in the future, she's like, well, you know, we better still be friends. And he's kind of Nagara is like kind of a depressive, you know, sullen dude. And he's just like, well, there's no guarantee that we will be, or that we'll even remember this. But then she gets very adamant of like, no, like, you know, damn it. Like, if one of us remembers, like, it's your response, you know, it's their responsibility to make sure that we are friends again. Mm. And it's something I really love about it, because it's not like framing it as like this, you know, love story. I mean, it is about love, but it's about friendship, which I hold in high regard. A lot of times when it's all about just the romantic, you know, side of things, it's, you know, it's not really that solid or that concrete to me. But so I like that they went with just their friendship. But anyway, what happens is that I'm almost done here. Nagara, they make it back, and they make, you know, and so he like, wait, you know, he's back in his life, and I guess enough time has passed where they're in high school now. I don't understand how that works, because they were in middle school and now they're in high school, and so you see him a little bit, like he's like in a class or whatever. So I'm like, how does that work? Were you just inexplicably gone for that time, right? You know, mm-hmm, or were you never gone really since you made it back? I don't know. And then he ends up coming around the corner and sees Mizuho, the other girl that went with him. And he's like, oh, hey, Mizuho. Like, and she's just like, who are you? Mm. And he's like, oh, man. And so there's this period where it's really sad of like, okay, you know, he's not going to remember, or no one's going to remember, but he clearly does. But then it turns, and then he sees Nozomi after that, and she clearly doesn't remember. But then later, Mizuho kind of like, I guess she was kind of reeling from the whole experience, and she kind of snaps out of it. And, you know, remembers everything or comes to terms with it. And so they end up, you know, she ends up finding him again, and they talk about things. And it ends shortly after that with the, you know, the idea, like basically he says, he runs into Nozomi again, and she's like, oh, hey, didn't we go to middle school together? And he's like, oh yeah. And then she like sees some, like her boyfriend or something, and like runs past him. But then the next scene he's kind of walking towards the camera, and he's like, well, you know, there's, in time, you know, like I forget what he says exactly, but it's just kind of like a more positive, like, you know, there's no need to rush these things. Like he has hope, Nozomi.
Hope.
He has hope for things to come. And that, and this is something I didn't touch on yet, but there's this whole theme too, from him and Nozomi, but like throughout the show, different characters of like the idea is like, can we change the world? You know, even though we're just students, you know. And mainly it's in this world that they're in, right? When they get transported to it, they have these powers and stuff, but they're like, they still feel powerless in the sense of like changing anything, you know, getting back to where they were. Mm. Or even like in this world, you know, they can't, up until Nozomi and that war guy dies, you know, nobody dies, you know? It's like, if you get a wound, it like heals itself. You don't really need to eat a lot of food. And so they're in this sort of stasis where, nothing really matters, and they feel even more powerless than when they did, you know, in the real world. And so I think there's this parallel when he finally gets back. Oh, there's another thing too, where like once they have the plan and they're ready to go, you know, thousands of years later, Nagara says like, we reached out to everyone in the class, you know, to, you know, let them know and see if they were interested, and nobody wanted to go back. So it's like they had all accepted, you know, where they were, this world that is unchanging and that they have no agency in, you know.
After 1,000 years, you think you'd maybe start to accept,
yeah,
the you place just start, you are? I don't know.
Just start to adapt, and you're like, this is it. So I thought that was interesting. But anyway, by the end, he's, you know, he does have that hope, and it's like, I think the idea is he feels like he can change the world, even if it's not immediately or, you know, bending it to his will. But he has, you know, he's a player in it. And so I like that, because the show deals with a lot of real world stuff. But since they're middle schoolers, I keep forgetting that at the beginning, there's a lot of angst. There's a lot of, you know, childish emotions, juvenile stuff. And so that's, I like that. It's a hopeful, promising ending to leave us on.
All right. So what would you give this? On a scale of 1 to how many years were they there?
I mean, that's a good question.
On a scale of 1 to 100,000.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Or just 10. Fine too.
Out of 10, I'm definitely giving it a 7.
Seven. Okay.
I tempted to give it an 8, but it doesn't, in my mind, doesn't deserve it at this point. But I feel like with time and like repeated viewings, I could get there. Mm. It's really, for me, it was really good. It really hit me in the gut with some of these scenes, even though it was also challenging to watch. Like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like the easiest thing to digest.
Mm. Challenging in a different way than Peach Boy was challenging yeah. to watch, but yeah.
Yeah, this was all like, well, I guess they were both intentional.
Well, okay. I mean, so in your case, it's intentional by the authors, I yeah. presume, right?
It's an original too, so yeah. it's not adapting anything.
Whereas Peach Boy, it was intentional by the anime producers for reasons.
Yeah, some got off a reason. I will also, just to wrap up, I love that ending song, like I said, but there's so many insert songs that were really good, and I want to try to track those down on Spotify. And I also say, because I didn't touch on either, the art and the animation are just, to me, stellar. Like, it just looks, Sesame yeah. Boy, like, looks so good.
Yeah, yeah. It looked very, the stuff that I watched looked very nice, and the animation was well done, and yeah.
Good stuff. But yeah.
All right.
You got any final words of parting wisdom?
Pickle stew on Tuesday.
Pickle stews day?
Yeah, I don't know what it means, but you know, on repeated viewings, maybe someone will figure it out.
All right.
Anyway,
sounds hard to digest.
Pickle stew, yeah, it'd be very vinegary. Not hard to digest, but maybe hard to get down. Especially on a Tuesday. I mean, Taco Tuesday, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Evidently, we're recording on Tuesday, October 6th. Is that what today is? 5th, maybe. But I saw it was National Taco Day or something today.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
And it's on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
How fortuitous.
Yeah. Very fitting
that we had tacos for dinner. Wait.
We didn't. Could have made shrimp tacos, I guess.
Shrimp tacos. Anyway, yeah, that's gonna do it for the Boy Boy episode. Sunny Boy, Peach Boy, Peach Boy, Riverside, Sunny Boy, Riverside, Sunny Boy, Riverside.
And Boy George and Boy Tony.
All right. Anyway, yeah, if you have any comments, you wanna talk about these shows, you had a different take than we did. Maybe you think that Peach Boy's airing order was the perfect order. You were wrong, but feel free to let me know how wrong you are in, you know, the comments on YouTube or on Twitter or on Instagram or whatever. Maybe you think that Sunny Boy was god-awful trash. You wouldn't be the only person in the world. I don't think it's god-awful trash, to be honest. No, it's pretty good. And it's interesting. I just couldn't hang in there with the monkey baseball. But if you think that, you know, yeah, get on Facebook. Get on our Patreon, maybe. If you're a patron, yeah. You can send us messages.
Reddit.
We got a Discord, umlikeanime.com/Discord. We'll get you that invite. That's UMLIKEANIME. It's the same everywhere, umlikeanime. We're online. Line the service. You probably have to Google it to be able to find it, because our identifier, because we're not a verified business, because you can't become a verified Line business in the United States for some reason. And we're not based in Southeast Asia, which is the only place you can become verified. Yeah, our Line ID is like @334NYCFF. I have it memorized.
Oh, wow. I thought you were just making something
up.
Oh,
no, that's actually it. Yeah, nice. I actually do know exactly what it is.
NYC?
Yeah, NYCFF. So if there's any New York City firefighters out there that are listening, you know, you can probably pretty easily find us online if you just remember 334 New York City Firefighter. Or you can just go to our website, unlikeanime.com, and there's links to all of our socials at the bottom. You can also leave comments on episodes there. You know, all of that stuff. Throw words at us. We like it. Do it.
We do.
Do it now.
Until we don't. But now we do. Do it.
We do. We always do. Even the ones that we delete and block, we still like the feedback.
Yeah, until we're getting like thousands of comments, we won't be ignoring them.
Oh, yeah. We won't ignore any of them. Like, even if you're mean, you might get deleted and blocked. But
which we did get a long, thoughtful comment on our fruits basket that I... Did you ever respond to that?
Which one are you talking about? I think I respond to all of them, so oh, okay. I don't know which one.
Yeah, I was just going in depth about Momiji and his growth spurt. And
oh, yeah.
How that's reflected in the manga.
Yeah, I replied to that.
Okay, said,
so yeah, it was really rather sudden, but I can see why it would be easier to do that in a manga than it is in an anime where you have multiple... I didn't type all of this, but, you know, where you've got multiple animators who are working off of, like, style sheets that they're given for each character, so they have to draw each character the same way. If you were going to have, like, a... rather than a rapid growth spurt, if you were going to have it like slowly occur through multiple episodes, you would have to have so many of those style sheets to be able to make that happen. I can see how it would be a nightmare for anime producers to do that. It would have been an amazing feat for them to do that and accomplish that. And I would have been very impressed by that. Yeah. As it was just rather sudden and jarring, but it wasn't terrible. So.
No, it wasn't awful, but I appreciated that comment.
Yeah. Yeah, it sort of makes me want to go, you know, look through the manga and like see that slow progression of Momiji growing up, you know?
I'm kind of curious too, yeah. All right.
And yeah, speaking of mangas, I do kind of want to look at the Peach Boy manga and just, you know, check that out, maybe read ahead a little bit or something like that. You have no options with Sunny Boy because it's an original.
That's true. I just gotta keep watching the show to unravel it.
Hopefully there's more of it. Have they announced anything yet?
No, I don't think so. But by the ending, like, I don't expect it. It's not need. It's not warranted.
Not something that would normally be continued. It didn't sound like anyway.
But. Yeah, I think everything was tied up. I mean, as well as it's going to be for...
Yeah, but we could go back and we could see those thousands of years that we missed.
That's true. You could have like an after story of like just slice of life in the other world.
All the chunks, right?
Yeah. Like, you'd probably be into that. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, as long as they don't do the monkey baseball.
I mean. Well, maybe we'd actually get to see the monkey baseball.
I don't care.
All right, fine.
It's already been relayed to me in such great detail that I don't need to see it, in fact.
Yeah, fair enough.
In the show.
Yeah. Okay. I watched it again today, so I know what you mean.
Like anime. Bye-bye.
Bye.